Take your Bibles, if you will, turn to Ephesians chapter number 5. Ephesians chapter number 5. And we'll be looking at verses 15 through 17. I may need help from the deacon or the ushers. There's a handout that I would like to give you in connection with the message tonight. And just some helpful things to have written down that maybe you'll refer to in the next couple of weeks. It's been encouraging to hear in the last week. A brother in the Lord in our church who communicated with me last week and said, "Preacher, I got my spiritual appetite back." And that was good to hear. Another member communicated with us and said that she is working to take one step of improving her appetite, one of the steps of all the steps that we taught through the last couple weeks, one step a day to focus on so that she'll grow her appetite. And we're in a series on the most improved Christian. And I want to remind you that God does not expect perfection, but He desires improvement. He desires growth. He desires us to be more like His Son, Jesus Christ. And that means that all of us really are in the spot of being able to improve if we'll just listen to the Holy Spirit and His Word, and if we'll give effort to what we learn. And if we'll do that, we can grow. We can improve. I want to remind you from the beginning of the series that God recognizes when you and I take steps for His glory. In Revelation 2:19, He spoke of that church there and He says, "I know thy works and charity and service and faith and thy patience and thy works, and the last to be more than the first," or "I see improvement. I see that your works and your patience and your faith and your love is greater towards the end here than it was earlier." And God sees when we take steps for His glory. In Ephesians chapter 5, there's another area of improvement that is identified. And I would like to start reading in verse number 15, read down through verse number 17. The Bible says, "See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is." Certainly in this passage, there is a encouragement, there's an exhortation by Paul to the believers at Ephesus, and that exhortation is that they would be about redeeming the time, because the days are evil, and that they would use wisdom. Notice in verse number 17, "Wherefore be ye not unwise," and in the context of this time that we're talking about, "but understanding what the will of the Lord is." One author, when speaking of redeeming the time, said this, and I quote, "They are like the words of a platoon leader addressing his unit just before they enter combat. The air is tense and your heart is beating fast. Even if you love battle, your hands are sweaty. Watch your step. Be smart. Don't miss your opportunity. Keep yourself lean for the battle." In other words, the Christian life is a vigilant life, defensively guarding itself from the subtleties of the evil days. And there are lots of subtleties in the evil days. Time's a strange commodity. We can't save it. We can't retrieve it. We can't relive it. We can't stretch it to be longer. We can't borrow it, and we can't loan it. We can't stop it, and we can't store it, but can only use it or lose it. We can't call time out in the game of life. Time's an unusual commodity. There's no such thing as literal instant replay that appears only on film. Pioneer missionary Robert Moffat said this, and I quote, "We shall have all eternity in which to celebrate our victories, but only one short hour before the sunset in which to win them." I want to give you some biblical principles of time tonight. I've entitled this, as you have on your handout, "Improving Your Stewardship of Time." Do you think that all of us have room for improvement
in the stewardship of time. Of time. I want you to notice, first of all, that time has eternal value based upon how we use it. Time has eternal value based on how we use it. In Romans 14 and verse number 12, the Bible says this, "So then let every one of us give account of himself to God." All of us will give an account of ourselves to God. Now, we know that the Bible teaches us in Matthew 12 that we're going to give account for idle words, aren't we? Every idle word is going to be brought into judgment. If idle words are going to be brought into judgment, do you think idle time is going to be brought into judgment? Do you think that we'll be judged on the usage of our time? Time is a gift from the Lord. It's something that we are given to manage individually. One person wrote, "Time is the seed of eternity. To make our life count for eternity, we must be wise in how we spend our time today. Eternity will be appreciated only in the measure that we have rightly handled our time here." That's a powerful statement. Man, I get to heaven someday, and I'm going to enjoy eternity based upon how I measured my time and used my time here. Time has eternal value based upon how we use it. Number two, time is here and it's gone, isn't it? Turn your Bibles to James chapter 4. James chapter 4. Time is here and then it's gone. Yesterday is past, cannot be changed. Tomorrow may not come. So make the most of what you have today. Use your hours for the Lord today. James chapter 4, verse 14, you know the verse. The Bible says, "Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow, for what is your life?" That's a personal application question from the Holy Spirit to each of us. For what is your life? He answers the question. "It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away." Carol's mother is 90 years old. I bet that 90 years has gone fast. Because life goes by like a flash is what the Bible says. It's here and then it's gone. Adoniram Judson, famous Baptist missionary to Burma, wrote that a life once spent is irrevocable. It will remain to be contemplated through eternity. The same may be said of each day. When it is once passed, it is gone forever. All the marks which we put on it, it will exhibit forever. Each day will not only be a witness of our conduct, but will affect our everlasting destiny. How shall we then wish to see each day marked with usefulness? Huh. Time is here and time is gone. Time is eternal based upon how we use it. Third point where I really want to dwell tonight is time is redeemed or is to be redeemed by God's people. Time is to be redeemed by God's people. Notice in verse number 16 of Ephesians chapter 5, the Bible says, "Redeeming the time because the days are evil." You know the word redeem means to buy out of a marketplace, right? It means to go to the marketplace and purchase something. The picture is of a merchant who diligently seeks to buy up the best bargains in the marketplace, taking care not to miss those opportunities of good deals. Redeeming my time, redeeming your time, is to take care that we don't miss out on eternal opportunities that God puts before us. To take advantage of the eternal opportunities that God places in our path. It's interesting that he says, redeeming the times because the days are evil. Why redeem time? This thought came to me. Wicked time lessens opportunity for doing right. The more wickedness there's around us, the more opportunities to fall into a pit, the more we have opportunity to spend our time in things that are not right and things that are not good. And Paul instructs the church here, hey, it was wicked in Ephesus' day. Redeem the time. Buy back opportunities. Man, take advantage of the God-given opportunities to live a righteous life, to invest the gospel in somebody else. Don't miss out on those opportunities. Opportunity is an interesting word. It has a Latin origin. In ancient times, before modern harbors, ships had to wait for the timing of the tide before they could make it safely to port. And so the word opportunity means that they were ready to seize on the crucial moment when the tide was coming in, that they would get to harbor before they had to wait for another tide to come in before they could enter safely into harbor. Huh. That means that there was a season. There was a moment. There was a time where that ship had the opportunity to be carried in by the tide into harbor. And if they missed the opportunity, they would have to wait another time for the tide. Redeeming the time means that opportunities come for us to bring forth fruit in our lives. And then they go. We don't get the same opportunities over and over again many times in our lives. There's a time to bring forth fruit. And we need to be aware and living with the mentality, I've got to redeem the time. As I go out to the store today, I've got to buy the opportunity, the eternal opportunity. I think it was Rebecca Wright was sharing with me the other day. She had to have a ride to work or something and had the opportunity. She redeemed the time. There was an eternal opportunity there to witness to somebody that was driving her to work, and she took advantage of that opportunity. That's what the Bible's talking about here, is that we have to buy up the opportunities. If you miss a seasonable opportunity, then you also miss the eternal harvest associated with that opportunity. April's coming. The singles in our church, we have a seasonal opportunity that we've created called Each One Reach One. And it's designed to reach children. And you could, as a single, be a part of it, or you could not be a part of it. But it's an opportunity to harvest fruit into our church and really into heaven. And I would urge you, redeem the time. Buy the opportunity. Go and say, hey, this is my opportunity. I'm going to redeem the time on it. I'm going to try to capture some fruit in the season. I think of when VBS comes and teachers and helpers start getting calls and are you going to help another year in VBS? And you're thinking, oh, the rat race of 5 days and getting children ready and getting to VBS and preparing lessons and having a bunch of rugrats run around all day with me, and it's harvest season. And we better redeem the time. We better redeem the time. I think of the opportunity to train your kids. Certainly going through it. It's here, and it's gone. Man, I have one in the nest, and the other ones are out living life every day out in Indiana somewhere. And we talk, but it's different. Those training days, it's a little different today. Parents, don't miss those opportunities. Redeem the time. Buy those things up. Spend time in those things today. I think of the opportunity to witness a neighbor to a neighbor that can be here and gone. Lived in Red Lion. Neighbor died. Moved to Felton. 3 years into Felton, my neighbor died. I'm talking next door neighbors. Dead. They were there. And then they're gone. Redeem. Redeem improve the stewardship of your time, we've got to be redeeming opportunities. I think of the opportunity to care for a visitor in our church that comes to a service and is here with us for an hour, maybe a little longer, not very long. May never see them again, but we have this small window to say, you know what, before they leave, I want them to know my name and I want to know their name and I want to show myself friendly and I want to show the care of Christ and try to make a difference in their lives in this small opportunity. Listen to me, church. All I'm talking about is this. All of those opportunities harvest eternal rewards. We can't miss them. It is the believer's responsibility to, hey, the days are evil, but there are opportunities. Man, capture them while we can. Capture them while we can. John Broadus said, opportunities like a fleet horse that pauses for a moment at one side. If you fail to mount him in that moment, you can hear the clatter of his hoofs down the corridors of time. That opportunity is gone forever. The disciples in Matthew 14 said this. When it was evening, his disciples came to him saying, this is a desert place and the time is now past. Send the multitude away that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals. You know what the disciples were saying to Jesus? You've labored. You don't have to take advantage of this opportunity to feed these people, these multitudes. The time is now past. Send them away. You know what Jesus said in the next verse? This is what Jesus said unto them, they need not depart. He says, give ye them to eat. And it's the story of the 5 loaves and 2 fishes and the feeding of the 5,000. And one of the well-known stories of Scripture, the disciples would have said, pass by the opportunity. There's other things in my life. And Jesus said, no, don't pass by the opportunity. Stop. Purchase it. Redeem it. There are people in our church that, as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. And I know there are people in this church that do good to brethren, and they do good to the household of faith. And the Bible says, as we therefore have opportunity, there it is again, that opportunity, that window, do it now! Improving your stewardship of time. Colossians chapter 4, verse 5, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. May I give you another point besides redeeming of the time as Christians are to be redeeming time. But fourthly, another biblical principle of time is proper stewardship of our time requires wisdom from God. I don't know about if you pray this. I haven't been faithful in doing this, but from time to time, God brings it back to me in my personal time with the Lord daily. Lord, help me to know how to use my time today. You're giving me time, but Lord, I need help. The psalmist said it this way, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach me, Lord, how to use this thing called time today. All of us have all kinds of things that are pulling on that. Lord, what's the best use of my time today? Ask God for wisdom. If you want to take away just a point of improvement that you could easily incorporate, understand that proper stewardship of time requires the wisdom of God. And Lord, I can ask you for wisdom. And Lord, you give wisdom as to how I need to use my time. And then I would say this, another principle, last principle tonight, do what you can do for God now. John chapter 9 verse 4 says, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus speaking of his own life. And he says, the night cometh when no man can work. I think of Anona tonight. Anona can't knock doors right now. In fact, she can't even go out to get her mail. She's still working through oxygen. I'm not trying to have you throw a pity party on her tonight, and she wouldn't want me to. And Anona, you're listening, and I'm not trying to do anything about you tonight. But I will tell you this. While she could knock on doors, she did. What I can do for now, for God now, I will. I think of Phyllis. Life has changed the last 3 months. Phyllis can't write cards anymore. She's in a home tonight. But she did what she could. She realized the night was coming when she couldn't. And I say to you, church, do what you can do for God now. Because we have no idea when life changes for us, and we can't do what we used to do. Dolores in the office on Mondays for, 10, 15 years. She did it while she could do it. Thank God. We have those examples all over the place in our church. Do what you can do now. Spurgeon rightly observed, now is the watchword of the wise. Now, let me say it again, now is the watchword of the wise. Later may be too late. Right now counts forever. The Lord is at hand. The day is at hand, according to the Scriptures. And we have to be good stewards of our time. You have to be a good steward of your time. In your handout tonight, as I close things out, I'm not going to go through every part of the handout, but I do want you to be aware of just some, if this is an area that you say, preacher, I need to give attention to this area of my life, some time management tips that are good to visit every once in a while. Identify what is eternal in God's eyes. That's a simple step that you can do that. You may have some things that you add to it. I wrote down some things that I know is eternal in God's eyes. Identify those things. Number two, identify the most important priorities in your life. I often tell people, fill the jar with the big rocks, not the sand. Fill the jar with the big rocks. What's most important in your life? Think about that. Write that down. Man, that's worthy of having my attention. Man, I got to make sure that gets done in my life on a daily basis. When considering a career job promotion or other commitments, weigh the time commitments, the travel. Ask, can I keep the most important priorities in my life and make this commitment? Can I keep the important things, or am I going to have to ditch the important things for this commitment? It's worthy. Identify time wasters, unproductive time in your life. On the back, it's good to answer where I can buy back time to invest in the most important priorities. I have identified times of rest. Sometimes we kill ourselves on rest, and rest is important to provide us with the energy, vision, and motivation to accomplish what God desires in our lives. And we need times of rest. God built that into life. Identify where that's going to happen. Prayerfully, plan your work and work your plan. And then allow God to interrupt your plans for those opportunities, for those good deals, so to speak, eternally speaking. Oh, I'm not going to get that done today because God ran me into so-and-so, a Christian that I needed to pray with and encourage, or ran me into a witnessing opportunity that I need to care for a lost soul. That's okay. Those are good things. Those are times to buy back. Be ready to redeem those times. Be prayerful and willing to change your schedule and routine by eliminating, reducing, reinvesting, and replacing time investments for the sake of improving your stewardship of time. And then simplify your life to make it count for God. Just some simple suggestions. If you say, preacher, I want to get to the end of 21, and I want to be able to say there were marked improvements, that God would look back at 21 and say the end of it was better than when you started at the beginning. Maybe this is an area that you could take a couple simple things from the Scriptures and say, Lord, I want to be a better steward. Help me to be a better steward of my time. Truth of the matter is, we have a couples retreat this weekend. Some are able to go, some are not. I know that. But I want you to know there are going to be opportunities there. There will be opportunities to encourage a brother or sister in the Lord. There will be opportunities to make a decision that will strengthen your marriage. Redeem them. Redeem them.
Thank you for joining us by way of the internet today. We're so glad that you were able to be with us, and we pray that the service was a blessing to your heart. Even though the sermon is over, our service is not over. At the end of our service, we give an opportunity for people to respond and come to an altar and pray over what God dealt with them about. Sometimes people come to call upon Christ and to be saved. Others come to make a decision for Christ regarding their Christian lives. Others come to call out to the Lord about special needs and situations in their lives. Maybe God has dealt with you today about some specific area of your life. I invite you to make an altar right there in your home, a quiet time before the Lord where you pray to Him and respond to Him about what He has spoken to you about. If you made a decision for the Lord today, we would be glad to hear about that decision and or answer any questions you have today about the message that was preached. You can contact us by way of email at info@mountziononline.org or by way of phone at 717-927-9227. Again, we thank you for joining us today, and we look forward to you joining us again for our live stream weekly on Sundays at 10:45 a.m. and on Sunday evenings at 6:45 p.m. If we can meet a need in your life, please do not hesitate to contact us. Thank you, and God bless you.